Okay, so who knows of at least one of these instructions which we definitely can't do? Thanks. Me. Back there. We can't do return. Why not? Yeah, so the effects of return are to read a value from memory and set it up as the next value of the program counter. And that means we would need some path from data memory to the program counter, and we don't have any. There's no way to get from there to there. So return can't be done with this. We need to add something to do return. So that's one. Any other, or you have a question about this? Okay. So anyone come up with other instructions which didn't look possible? Yeah.
I don't think you can do IR loop here.
Okay. So
I think you need the entire immediate value, and if you split it up between the program counter and the ALU, then you'll get the entire thing.
So it turns out that the value that we use for the displacement in address operations, like RMOVE Q, it has the same length as the immediate for IRMOVEQ. So this wire here does contain that immediate. That doesn't mean we can do the instruction, but it means that we do have the immediate here. So do you still think it's impossible?
Yeah, because the ALU has to do some function on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the problem we see is that in the IRMOVEQ instruction, the register B, which is going to be a meaningful register, is passed to the register file as the second register to read, and the value of that register is passed to the ALU. So even if we arrange for the immediate to go into the ALU as the first input, we're going to be adding something to it. And that's the only place we can get the value of that immediate back to the register file. There's no other way to do it on this diagram without adding something. So that means that, so one way of reasoning about this problem is you look at IRMOVEQ, you say, we have an immediate that something needs to happen to. So what you can do is trace the line which must contain that immediate. You know it has to come from the instruction. So you know one of the wires from the instruction needs to go back in the correct form to the register file to store that value. So we trace the wires from the instruction. So this is one of those wires. And we see that it goes to a mux. And we know that we can make the mux have whatever setting we need for the instruction. So we can assume it goes through this mux, since that's the only option. But when we look at what happens afterwards, we find out that we lose the value after that with this current setup. And that means that there's no way, there's no connection which gets it in its current form to the register file. Yes?
We lose the value?
Because it's the input to ALU A. And when we're doing an IRMOVEQ instruction, there's going to be some value for the second register we read from the register file with this setup. So we can have the ALU do an AND, but the ALU is going to do an AND of its first and second inputs.
Can we set the second inputs at all ones?
Well, we can look at that. So where's the second input from the ALU go in this diagram? Where's the second input to the, so this is the first input is next to the MUX. Where does the second input come from?
The register
file. Okay. Yeah. And
we
set,
we it
okay. So RB is a register number. So RB is a number for one of the registers. So like it corresponds to RAX or RBX or R8 or R9. And the value coming out that goes into the ALU is the value stored in the register. So yes, if we knew what value was, if we could store a value in the register for a purpose, we could do that. But that would interfere with the program. It would make the instruction do something extra if it was there.
So we would have to set RB.
So setting RB can't do it. Because, so RB is part of the instruction. Setting source B doesn't help us much. Might help us, but there's not, we don't know of a register which contains all ones. Right? There's no register which is always going to have all ones, which is what we would need in order for IRMOVEQ to always do the right thing. Yeah?
So I don't know if it's defined or not, but if you defined source B F to output 0, then you could do an add with 0.
Yes. But that's, so if, you know, the dummy register number outputted 0 or outputted all ones, and that might be a useful way of being able to just pass a value through the ALU. But with this current diagram, we can't set source B to that dummy number, so it doesn't matter what the register file does in the case where we pass the source register as our fake register number that we use to suppress writes. Yeah.
So if I have a value that's immediate, and I'm trying to save that into register. Register holds a memory address, right?
The register, no. There's no memory address involved in IRMOVEQ.
Okay.
We have a value from memory and a number of a register that's going to be one of the destinations of the instruction.
Okay.
And somehow the value from, like, the simple wiring is that we take something from instruction memory, plug it into here directly, and that's what the instruction does. We just have a line from the instruction memory to the next RDSD. Yeah. So a register with zeros is a common feature and would be helpful. Usually people use all zeros rather than ones. We could also have something, you know, here we have a MUX which chooses between a constant and a wire. We could also have that in front of the ALU.
Why couldn't we X?
We could if we had a register. But the problem is that we don't have, that we need to read a register that has all zeros. So that would be an option, but to do that, we need to change one of these inputs to read that register. So that's a valid way of implementing the instruction, but it's still not possible without some changes to the circuit. Namely, that we need to change what's before the register file.
Just add some MUXes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So here, if the IR, like the register I'm trying to move the immediate value to is, let's say, 5. So that means 5 is going to go into RB, right? Because that's where it sets the best.
Mm-hmm.
But it also doesn't go to the source B. So that means our source B is going to have some output. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. that's where it's messed up with the immediate value.
Yeah. So there are some other instructions that on this list that are not possible. So hopefully you can go through your logic and figure out maybe more systematically, like work through.
What were the four things that push Q does?
Push Q doesn't do four things, depending on how you count. Push Q increments the stack, decrements the stack pointer, and writes a value on the stack. Or, yeah.
But didn't you say on that last class there was like four things that push Q does? What was that pop?
So pop uses all four of these. Pop uses writes two values and push, if that's what you mean. There are four things if you count in some ways, but I'm not sure exactly which ones you're referring to. But the way it push Q changes memory and the stack pointer is probably the easiest thing, right, to think about. So how would I go about figuring out whether I can do jump? Yeah, question? Yeah, so jump, what jump essentially does is set the PC to a value in the instruction. So there's two ways I might systematically figure this out. I might look at this diagram and work backwards from the input to the PC. Say, okay, so the input to the PC is a mux, so let's just work through each of the possible inputs to the mux and see if they can come from a value from the instruction. That would be what we want. So we look at the bottom one. That is the PC plus a function of plus the instruction length. That is not a value from the instruction that's useful. It's related to the instruction, but it's not useful. Look at the top. It's exactly what we want. It's a part of the instruction. In particular, it's going to be exactly the jump address. And the other way of doing this is to work forwards. You can go from what's the output of the instruction, and does some part of this end up somewhere I can put it in the PC. So we can work forwards from values in the instruction and see where they go. So we know RA and RB aren't the right part of the instruction, so we can ignore those inputs to the register file. They just aren't big enough. This is part of the instruction, but it goes to the ALU. And yeah, we could put it in the ALU, but then there's no path from the ALU back to the PC. So that's not relevant. So we know that there's no sense in sending that the address we want to jump to the ALU. And we see the other path, which goes to a mux, which we can send to the PC. Where is RSP? That is one of the registers. So it's in the register file, and it has a number. I forget what RSP's register number. I think it's like 4 or 5. That's its register number. And it's just a normal register, except that some instructions use it implicitly.
It points to the data memory?
It contains an address, which usually is an address in the data memory, yes. So of our instructions, we've determined we can't do IR move Q. We can do jump. We can't do ret. Did we determine call? I don't know how I'm mixing up classes. So can we do call? So yeah. Yeah, we can't do call because there's no path from PC memory. I think we covered that. There. So we can't do call because, similarly reasoning, there's no path from the PC. The PC doesn't go anywhere. So we can't do call. So how about push Q? So how would we start reasoning about whether we can do push Q? Would be a good thing to look for. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we can start by saying what does push Q change? So push Q changes memory. So it writes a value to memory. That's one of the things it does. And what address does it do that at? Yeah, so it does it based on the stack pointer. So we know the address is the stack pointer minus 8. The other thing push Q does is it reads a value. The value that it writes to memory is read from the register file. So we know something about what the data in needs to be. Yeah?
Can we set RA to the program counter, the value in the program counter?
No. RA is 4 bits. The program counter is 64 bits.
But if the program counter was 4 bits, we could do that?
You could do that, but it wouldn't be very useful. So the other thing that push does is it changes the stack pointer. So we also need to have one of these value be the new value for the stack pointer, and one of these be referencing the stack pointer. So one place we could start is by saying, OK, it changes the stack pointer. How do I choose to write to the stack pointer? Well, that means that I need to tell the register file I would like to change RSP, the stack pointer register, and give it that register number. Which means that one, either destm or destd need to be the register number of the stack pointer. So we can work backwards. Destm can either be RA, which is the register we're pushing onto the stack, which is not the stack pointer, or RB, which is the dummy register number F, if you look at the instruction encoding. So it turns out that we can't write to the stack pointer. And that's enough to say that we can't do push Q. There's also a bunch other ways you could find out we can't do push Q. For example, the address we need to compute needs to be computed based on the stack pointer. And RA can't be the stack pointer, because that's the value we need to send the data memory. So the R source A and R source B can't be the stack pointer because we have no way of setting RB to be the register number of the stack pointer, and that's what source B is, and that's what the register file is going to read. That's what I have for today. Next time we'll talk about our hardware design language and maybe more review of this.